Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
Good morning, everybody. How you doing today? Welcome to the Southwest. My name is Dallas. I'm one of the pastors here. Just so excited that you've joined us for worship today in the building here and online as well. We're just going to keep rolling this morning. We just want to invite you to encounter Jesus this morning. That's the whole reason we're here, is to meet with Jesus and let our lives be changed, just like we just sang.
That he hasn't failed you, right? That you put your faith in him because he is faithful through the generations. You've still got joy in the chaos when you think of all those things. You might really be thinking, and it's okay. I mean, I'm giving you permission to say, I'm just not sure that God hasn't failed me because this hasn't happened, or this didn't happen, or this didn't turn out the way that I wanted it to, or I'm still waiting, and this should have taken place. Well, in that, 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow about his promises, as you count it slow, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all come to repentance. And so for those places, I mean, and I have places in my own life where I go, yeah, I just think that didn't work out. But really, maybe it hasn't worked out yet. Maybe it hasn't worked out the way that you wanted it to yet. And maybe it worked out exactly the way God wanted it to, and you're reaping the benefits of it, but yet you just really don't know it yet. So let's just sing that chorus one more time, or wherever Dallas and the team want to take us, but to really just say, Lord, I'm proclaiming this in victory. I'm proclaiming this that your promise is true, that you are right. And while I'm marking time right now in my own life, I know that you're working because you will never fail. Lord, I hope that we would just right now, Lord, as we are here with you and you are with us and within us, Lord, that we would just lay ourselves down at your feet, Lord. Lord, where we have failed, Lord, where life has not worked out, where there really is that chaos, Lord, I saw as we are standing on that firm foundation and gosh, the wind is blowing and we're soaking wet from the rains and we're getting pelted with hail and sleet and snow and dust and wind. And boy, we just seem like we're just hanging on for dear life. Yet we are unmoved because of you. Boy, there's great reasons to celebrate in that today. But yet, Lord, it still hurts. And there's still some doubt and there's still some heartache. How are we going to make it through this? Lord, we just lay that at your feet right now. Lord, I lay that at your feet right now, Lord, proclaiming that I have no control. I can't do anything about some of the circumstances, some of the health issues, some of the things that are going on in family and friends and neighbors and work, our finances, the world. There's war, there's famine, there's just everything. But Lord, yet we proclaim, I proclaim in the name of Jesus Christ today that nothing can stand in your way as we proclaim that you are the way. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In the name of Christ, all the people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You have an opportunity to give this morning if you would like, and there's places on the screen for you to do that. You can see the web addresses, the phone numbers, all the things. You can do that. You can go online to stlukeslubbock.org, and you can do it there as well. And as you do that, just know that it really matters to the Lord how we give. And so, God, I'm thankful for the money that you give the Wolfington family. Lord, I'm thankful for your generosity. I'm thankful for your provisions. Lord, how you just seemingly provide over and over and over again. And Lord, when I can't see how the ends are going to meet down the road, Lord, right now we are solid. And Lord, you are caring for us. And Lord, I pray that would be true for everyone in this room. Lord, everyone that's watching. Lord, that we would just look to you for our constant provision. And as you provide, we are in constant thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. There's two things that businesses don't think about like parents think. Donut shops don't think about powdered sugar on donuts, right, when you have children. And the grocery stores don't think about having children when they put those little bitty miniature carts out. Satanic is what those are. Satanic. That in the hands of a five-year-old is nothing but sheer hurt, speaking of that. Today I want to continue this this idea of who we are in Christ about after we get through the holidays and we get through all that fun stuff and we think about Christmas and just, you know, everything's put up, unless you're my neighbor and you haven't put your lights up yet and they're still on, and you know the whole neighborhood knows that they're still on. Yeah, I'm talking to you. And just how many of you still have your lights up? Let me see who I just offended in the room. Okay, great, perfect. At least just two of you. But just all the things, all right? Even we went out of town on a 24-hour road trip this weekend to celebrate another Christmas. How many of you are still celebrating Christmas like we are? Nobody? And we have one more to go. Who wants to go with me? Nobody. Look at that. Yeah. You're not getting presents. Now, do you still want to go? No, you're out. A pickup was pulling this giant trailer, and it had all the really sad Christmas trees that didn't get picked at 7-Eleven. You know what I'm talking about? Those real skinny ones that are wrapped up in chicken wire or whatever, and then there were some on there that were discarded. And even in that, I went, see, we're still trying to clean up. And so in your life, and we think about still trying to clean up, and you wonder about now what do we do? We've celebrated the birth of Christ, and we celebrated all the things, and we did Christmas Eve and had all the fun. But yet now, when you look at your life, do you feel like, well, I'm stuck in my routine again? Christmas is over, the parties are over, the kids are back in school, you're back at work, and just whatever all that might be, and it's just like it never really happened, right? And we do get stuck in these things. We get stuck in our routines. We get stuck in what I would say is the evolution of our life that is really not evolutionary because it never changes. And so how do we live with that? You can get the notes today, the sermon notes, if you'd like, by scanning that QR code to think about getting unstuck. Because I wonder when we are stuck and we're just kind of, I said in my prayer, Lord, as we're just marking time. How many of you don't have to raise your hand, you don't have to admit it because you might offend your spouse or your children or your parents or whoever. How many of you in your heart of hearts just feel like you're just kind of marking time right now? Nothing's really changing and you're just kind of going about the same old, just waiting for the next great thing or the next thing to happen in your life, the next event, the next celebration. You're just waiting on Valentine's or you're waiting on President's Weekend to go out of town. You're waiting on spring break, hallelujah, kids, right? And or maybe you're like, okay, let's just get to Easter. The pastoral staff says, whoa, slow your roll. Let's don't get to Easter yet. And we're just kind of going through the motions. But if I say maybe you feel like you're marking time, now really don't answer, but there is marriage counseling if you do, okay? How many of you feel like you're just doing time? Might be with your parents. Might be in church, might be in your Sunday school, it might be in your job, it might be with your friends, it might be you just feel like, my gosh, am I ever going to get out of this? Is this ever going to change? Is this ever going to get better, right? Anybody remember the Jack Nicholson movie Is This As Good As It Gets, right? I think we ask that question sometimes of ourselves, and I think even in church. I think that's why people move churches. I think that's why people church hop is because they look at one particular place and they think it's not doing it for me, so there's got to be something better. I think that's what we do in relationships. I think that's what we do in friendships. I think that's what we do in a lot of things. We do it in jobs all the time in different ways. We just think, like, there's got to be something better. And so I think the question is, when we ask the question, now what, is how do we get unstuck, right? And so to get unstuck, I think also sometimes we get stuck in really good things. It goes along well, and we're making decent money, and this car is good enough, and this house is good enough, and our marriage is good enough, and our children are good enough. I mean, they're not making straight A's, but they're also not in juvenile detention. Amen? Oh, if you have kids, you know what I'm talking about, right? And if you're thinking about your marriage, well, this is not great, but at least I'm married, right? Or at least I'm not stuck with that last one that I was dating, if you're just dating, right? I mean, we just think about these things and say, good might just be good enough, except Jim Collins, in one of the greatest quotes of all time, and I kind of paraphrased it and turned it around, but good really is the enemy of great. Because if we just settle for good enough, we will never be great, especially as God calls us to. If we just settle for the same old Bible study, if we just settle, I mean, if you're still, for the 100th time, if you're going back through Jesus Calling, even though Sarah Young's book is fantastic, and I recommend it, and she doesn't need to sue me for saying this, and that's you're stuck in that for your 100th time going through it, and you've never gone beyond that, it's good, but it really isn't good enough, and it's keeping you from going on to what God has in store for you that's great. If you are stuck, we need to get you unstuck, and I want to help you get unstuck. If you think you're just doing time, I want to break you free as Jesus wants to break you free from just doing time or marking time. And Jesus talked about this, right? Scripture talks about this over and over and over again. But as I break you free, what do we do while you are in the moment? Okay, because I'm aware not every circumstance in life can be a mountaintop experience, okay? Every day is not going to be perfect. Every day is not going to be just blissful. Every day is not going to be earth-shattering and life-changing and all the different things. Every day cannot be camp. Every day cannot be Christmas. Every day cannot be spring break. Whatever your favorite moment is, okay, every day cannot be that way. And so what do you do while you're in the moment? What do you do while you do feel like you're doing time, or you're marking time, or you're just waiting for the next thing, and you really feel like, okay, well, I'm doing okay right now? Well, what that is while we live life, I want to read the scripture to you out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. It says, because I think some of us can feel like slaves to life. Slaves to jobs, slaves to emotions, slaves to feelings, slaves to relationships. We can all feel this way. So slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slaves or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. So, as we mark time, as you feel like you're doing time, and I would say that you're not, by the way. I mean, I could spend a half a day with you and show you the great places of your life, show you how the Lord's moving, show you how a life has really been good to you and probably being good to you at the moment, even though it may not be the way you want it to be. But I think I could show you that. But here's where the scripture is talking to all of us, no matter where we are. It really talks about, okay, look, slaves, obey. It talks about, forget the word obey, it just says, slaves, I'm going to use my word, engage. Slaves, be active. Slaves, live. Slaves, do. See, it talks about even when you're in a place that you may not really like, maybe when you're in a place that's not ideal, it's still talking to us about being active. And I want to go one step further than that and talk about being just actively engaged. Because I know when I am actively engaged in anything, it's always better, right? I mean, things just, it doesn't matter what it is, it's just more, at least it's more interesting. At least I have some input, and at least there's something coming back at me, because when I'm actively engaged, I can go from good to great. Now then, we're going to talk about Scripture, obviously. I'm going to talk to you about your relationship with God in Christ, but just think about your life, okay? When you're actively engaged at school, right, it's just better, okay? At least it makes the day go by quicker, right? When you're actively engaged in your health, okay, it's at least a little bit better, right? When you're actively engaged in your marriage, it's better. All of these, I could just keep going on and on and on and on. Actively engaged with your children, actively engaged in your parents, actively engaged in Bible study, in church, and whatever, excuse me, whatever it might be, it does become great, and it's not just a passive thing. Okay, and so here's where it boils down to two words that you heard in that passage of Scripture. One of those words is wholeheartedly. Now, I said actively engaged. I said actively participating. See, wholeheartedly really does, that Greek word, it really does mean that. It's not just making it up and sounding like some great self-help book. Christ is really telling us right here in this passage of Scripture to be actively engaged in life. Be actively engaged in your faith. Be actively engaged in your Christian relationships, in your family, and in your children, and in your marriage, and in your jobs. Be active, not passive, because passive just lets everything go by us. If you saw on my Facebook this week, if you happen to see or follow any of that, I put a picture on there. There's a guy that he's got this giant Bible next to him, like your grandparents used to have in their living room on the shelf or on their coffee table. How many of you had the big white Bible growing up, the really giant one? Yes, some of y'all. Hallelujah. And so he had one of those, and I'm going to say it was about this big, and he's got it on a pedestal next to him, and he's got electrodes hooked up to the Bible, and then they come over, and he's wearing the helmet, you know, that's got the electrodes going to it, and he's practicing some kind of osmosis. And his little assistant said, wouldn't it be just as good if you read it? Right? To be active. To be active. He's saying right here, wholeheartedly, put your whole life into it. Be active in it as if your life depends on it, really. Because for the slave, right, it really was, their life was dependent on how they interacted with their master, how they lived their life out. As they were just doing time, as they were just marking time. And then the other one is goodwill. And to do it with goodwill, the goodwill of your heart, means two things. It means enthusiasm, but it also means to be involved in that enthusiasm, right? Not enthusiasm from afar, right? I've just heard several young adults talking about their dream job is to never have to work with people. Somebody said, wow, it's so true. To not engage, to not have relationships, I don't want to have to deal with people. I can do it from home, or I can do it from some other remote location, or just put me in a cubicle, put me in the attic, or put me in the basement. Just don't let me be involved and engaged. See, that's a problem with even Scripture, is because it's calling us to be involved and engaged. Remember, the enemy of great is good. And if it's just good enough that you're doing whatever it takes just to get by and mark time, then you're never going to have that greatness. And there's one story, okay? There's one story in Scripture that I want to just quickly talk to you about as we talk about getting unstuck. And this is just the quick story of Esther. Esther, she really wasn't marking time, but I'm gonna put it in the context of that, where she was, all sorts of things happened, okay, and as they did, she was put into a place of great authority and responsibility eventually. But in one spot, okay, she was throwing a banquet for a king, right? She was throwing this great banquet, and she had the opportunity to change the course of history scripturally for God. And as she's doing that, she gets the opportunity to tell the king, okay, you have to understand that there's Haman, okay, and then there's Malachi. Haman is the bad guy in the story, and Malachi is the good guy in the story. And Esther knows as a Jew, okay, I'm just gonna run through it so fast. Esther knows that as a Jew, that her life and all the lives of the Jews have been condemned to death. no matter how it happens. Haman has declared, and he's gotten a law passed in the land, that all the people of God, right, all the Jews, all the people that were slaves, all the people that were in captivity, they are to be destroyed. And it lists this all these ways they can be destroyed. Not just simply, but I mean tragically and terribly and horribly. Moms, dads, kids, aunts, uncles, grandparents, didn't matter their age, didn't matter their gender, they were dead. And so Malachi had saved the king's life, even though he was a Jew. He had done something really cool, really good. Just going to leave it at that. He had saved the king's life. And so suddenly Esther, who's a Jew, has an opportunity to change the king's mind about what's going on in his kingdom. But yet, she throws this banquet, and the king says, "Man, this is fantastic. What can I do for you, Esther?" This is the MSRV, the Matt Standard Revised Version. Is, "What can I do for you, Esther?" And she doesn't say anything except for, "Oh, nothing, but I would love to throw you a banquet tomorrow also." See, she was scared, not knowing who she was in God, who we are in Christ. She was worried. She didn't know how to approach the king, even though she had been given all the right cues, all the right circumstances. She was in the right place at the right time. He even asked her, and she didn't say anything. But yet, even if she didn't say anything, now she's marking time. Now she might be doing time. Because she really is. She has a death sentence on her life and all of her people. She's just passing time at this point. And yet God is still working. Even though, hallelujah for me, if you're not doing anything, God is still working. Amen? Even if I have a bad day, God is still working in your life and in mine. And he's doing it here. Because all these things start happening. And I'm going to run through them really fast, and I'm going to miss a few, but just to make it short. So the king, Haman's building gallows at his house. I mean, he's building places to be able to hang people. He's building things to be able to chop their heads off. He's building all these death devices to kill the Jewish people. And here everybody is in the Jewish community just marking time. They're like, "Oh my gosh, what's going to happen?" And so then the next day comes. The next day comes, and here Esther is throwing another banquet, right? And as Esther throws another banquet, okay, During the night, okay, listen to me. During the night, the king goes to bed, but he's restless. The king goes to bed. Esther hadn't done her part, and yet he's restless. And he is reminded that Haman has really saved the king's life. He's done some great things for the king. And so the king says, "Hey, let's make this guy my second in command." And so he goes and that's Mordecai. He goes and gets Haman and says, "Tell the whole world that Mordecai is now my second in command." So here we are. Haman wants to kill all the Jews, and now a Jew is second in command. Now what's he going to do? Here comes the second banquet. And now the same thing happens. "Esther, what can I do for you? What can happen here?" And she says, basically, "Will you save all my people?" She missed her opportunity the first time, but yet God's still moving. God has put Mordecai as second in command. And he says, "Sure, but wait a minute. Now, there's this thing about all the Jews are supposed to be killed, and guess what?" She says, "Yeah, I know that, and Haman's the one that's going to try to do that. Haman has said that I need to die." The king says, "What? You and all of your family?" And she says, "Not just me and all my family, all of the people, all of the Jews, all the people like me." And let me tell you what happens. I'm going to jump to the end really quickly. Is that Haman has dug his own grave by the gallows that he has built himself, right? He gets hung on his own gallows. Marking time. Haman was marking time. Mordecai was marking time. Esther was marking time. And in some ways, the king himself was just marking time. But yet God was moving and working. And if that hadn't happened, then the greatest change in all of history would have never happened. Because the Jewish population, the people of God, us, would have been wiped out. The faith of God would have been destroyed forever. And the idols and all of the other things would have taken over. See, Esther, she didn't always do exactly what she was supposed to do at the time. Anybody want to sign up for that spot? Because I've been there, right? And she didn't say what she thought she was supposed to say, even though the Lord was prompting her to say it. Mordecai he wasn't brave enough, and Haman, he was following the wrong way, but yet all of these things came around while they were marking time. See, what happens is we have to remember that even, right, when we finally get there, when God uses the people in our lives and uses you in the life of other people, it really is the power of the grace that flows from you. Look at this. This is scripture. I'm not trying to make you feel good. The power of grace that flows from you is rewarded by God with more grace-filled power, because Esther, right, she becomes queen eventually. I mean, she becomes one of the most powerful and influential people in the land, right? She becomes part of everything that she needed to happen in order to keep the power of God moving. God did everything that he needed to make everything happen, so his power would continue to flow. His grace would continue to flow. His everything. For her, for Mordecai, for the king, for her people, for us. Are you just marking time today? Or is your active involvement providing you the godly rewards that God has in store for you? And that's in every part of your life. Every part. All your relationships. All of your activities. And if you're saying no, my question for you is, why not? Why are you not moving forward? Why are you not actively involved? I was listening to a podcast last night, and while we were traveling home, and it was a historical thing, and just one statement about this father was, one of his children, they said they figured it out that he had probably, I mean, in his 60s, right, he had not spent more. They lived together. They were together, okay? There's no excuses for any of this, but it said that this father had not spent more than 6 months with his oldest son in all of his life, because he was so wrapped up in his job, because he was so dedicated to his work, because he was so driven, he was so type A personality, he was so selfish, he was so not family-centered, he was so whatever you want to say. But really, when you're in your 60s and you only spent 6 months with your child, that's not actively involved, right? Where is it that you can say some of the same things about you? How do you get unstuck? You get actively involved. You just, so simple. I know it may not be easy, but it's so simple, is you just get up and start doing. You just open the Bible and start reading. You just close your eyes and say a prayer. You just start journaling. You just start reading and listening, seeking and listening. You just start. Just start. I've noticed over the past 3 weeks that my prayers are being answered in one very powerful and significant way. And Ashley could say the same thing. Dallas could say the same thing. Is you all are becoming more actively involved than I have seen in years in the life of our family of faith. Sunday school, small groups, prayer groups, just extra events like the journaling thing this weekend where this room was full, and just the emails, the text messages, the interactions, the comments people are making about, wow, this is really good. Wow, this is really hard. Wow, 5 minutes is forever. And 10 minutes is even longer, right? But you know what that tells me? You're doing it. You're trying it. You're seeking, you're looking. You may have no clue what you're looking for. All I got to say is just keep looking, because Jesus is there. The reason you don't know what you're looking for, the reason you don't know how it's going to turn out, the reason you just don't have a clue, is because really, we've been stuck for a long time. And now that we're getting unstuck, boy, it's kind of messy. I mean, when you stand in mud for a minute, it's not a big deal. I mean, it's only dirty from here down, right? But when you start moving, oh my gosh, it gets gross and it gets nasty and it gets everywhere, but you get out of it. That's all we're looking for today. That's all Christ is looking for, is to get unstuck. Because I still want to go back to it. To give you some motivation is to be actively involved means that the Lord is actively rewarding you. Actively rewarding you. That's not me. That's the Lord saying that to you. That's His blessing. That's how He works. And so, don't beat yourself up for being stuck. Let's get unstuck. What's the answer to now what? Now what is get up. Now what is to move. Now what is to find where you fit into the grand scheme of what God's calling you to. And as you do, I know you will see the rewards. I know you will see them. I know you will see the blessings. And I know you will see the movement of God in your life and in the life of your family. Let's pray. I am so thankful, Lord, that I get to be a part of your activity in the world. I'm so thankful, Lord, for your activity in our life. Lord, how you are actively engaged with us in the power of your Holy Spirit, through the power of your Holy Spirit, from the power of your Holy Spirit living in our lives. And Lord, and as we get unstuck, Lord, there's going to be some discomfort, and there's going to be this yearning, this desire to go back. Lord, when we miss an opportunity, or when we don't speak when we're supposed to, or when we forget to do a devotional, or when we just decide that we're too tired to do your work, Lord, you're still calling us, and you give us another chance. And the rewards are still the same. The blessings are still abundant. Because where we fail, we know you won't. You never will. So Lord, give us your energy. Lord, I pray for I pray right now for the longevity of your stamina in our lives, Lord. For all these things that we've started, Lord, that you would give us, as your holy word says, you would give us the power through the completion of it. Lord, it may be one Bible study. It may be some volunteerism. It may be this little 5-minute timer thing about talking to you and listening to you. Lord, just let us stay on course. Even for me, Lord, you know I ask all the time just to give me the power, or just to give me the vision, or just to give me the strength for sometimes just one more step through the day. Because I know you're in front of me, and I know you'll be there all the way. Lord, get us unstuck. In the name of Christ, all the people said amen. All right, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, go from this place today being unstuck and not getting restuck, but going into the world and showing Him, even though it may be messy, the grace-filled life that you have. And all the people said amen. Amen. Y'all have a great week.